Going to talk about today about the suffering Messiah. This is going to be, this of course is in keeping with our whole idea of death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Last Sunday we talked about God's anointed prophet, priest, and king, Jesus. And the word that they use is the word Mashiach, which is Messiah, and it means the anointed one. And you get into the New Testament and they use the word Christos, or Christ, which also means anointed. So I have tried to make myself, when I go through the scriptures and I see the word Christ, I try to read the word Messiah in there, because people say, well, that kind of comes in people's minds that he was the one to come that they were all expecting and wanting to come. And we read a couple of key texts where the word Messiah is actually used, and we found that John 1:41 was when they said Andrew finds his brother Simon Peter and said, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And then over in the fourth chapter, when we have Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, when she said in John 4:25, the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah cometh," which is called Christ. "When he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." In other words, I am the Messiah. We noticed, especially last week, the strong desire that the Jews had for the coming of Messiah based on the prophecies from the Hebrew Scriptures about him reigning and healing and saving. And then we also talked about the conditions in Israel that made them want him to come, by the oppression by the Roman yoke, the Edomite Herods, and the shallow religion that they had in their country, that they all wanted him to come. But the thing that we want to point out today, that along there is a parallel teaching that runs along with the triumphant Messiah, and that is the suffering Messiah. In other words, if the text that we noticed last week seemed to go along with the idea that we're going to have this coming, triumphant, powerful Messiah, right along beside it is another teaching, vein, parallel to that, where it is showing that Messiah is going to suffer. The Jews do not want to see this picture. They do not want to even think about their Messiah dying. In fact, one in one of the books I read said that to them, if Messiah would come and die, that would be the end of Jewish history. And they did not want that. So we see that when you get into the scriptures, that the apostles and Jesus himself, one of the things that they had to do was to convince the Jews that Messiah must suffer. And so there are several texts that are key to this. One of them is Matthew 24, and beginning there at verse 26. This is the story of the two on the road to Emmaus after Jesus had been raised from the dead. And you remember they were walking along and Jesus joined them, and they began talking. And so he said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So here he is saying, you know from the scriptures, Moses and the prophets, that Messiah would have to suffer. And over there then again in the 44th through the 48th verses, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Messiah to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." So here he is telling them that in the Hebrew Scriptures, and he is giving them, giving the three sections of the Hebrew Scriptures as they are known and believed by the Jews. The most important books in the Hebrew Scriptures are the Law, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. After that come the books of the prophets, and finally, the book of the Psalms, or the miscellaneous writings. In other words, he's starting with important. Most important is Torah, next important is prophets, third in importance is the Psalms. But he is saying that all of these, Law, prophets, and Psalms, are teaching that Messiah should suffer. And so that's what he is trying to get across to them, to the apostles and the other disciples, that Messiah was going to suffer. This was a mindset of theirs. The Messiah was going to come in power and great glory to establish the kingdom. And they just could not conceive of any other picture. So these places are the ones that are key texts. And another one is Acts 3:12-18, which I intended to read for you as a scripture lesson. Acts 3:12-18. And it says, "When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot or know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Messiah should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." Here he's showing that he's trying to convince the Jews, his own people, that their Messiah should suffer. And that God is the one who revealed that he would suffer. So those texts are key to this whole idea of the suffering Messiah. So when you get back in, based on Luke, the 24th chapter, the 44th to the 48th verses, when you get into that, you realize, then you go back to the Law, Prophets, and Psalms. Do you see where it said that? And the first one that we believe talks about a suffering Messiah is Genesis 3:15. We believe this is also the first mention of Messiah, in which is talking about the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. But as it goes on here, you would see that his heel should be bruised. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you will bruise his heel." In other words, the crushing of the head of the serpent is final, but the crushing or bruising of the heel was not final. But this, we believe, is talking about that something was going to happen to the Messiah. And we believe that that text actually brings that out. The next one, we believe, is the 22nd chapter of Genesis, where Abraham was instructed to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah, where the Solomon's temple was built, which is now the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, that they went up there, and a ram was given as a substitute for Isaac. As far as Abraham was concerned, as far as God was concerned, Abraham did offer Isaac because he was willing to do it, and he had sacrificed him in his own mind. But at the last minute, the ram was found caught in the thicket by its horn, and it became a substitute for Isaac. The next symbol in the law, or Torah, is Numbers 21, where the people were disobedient, and God sent fiery serpents among them that bit them. And the people were dying, and God instructed Moses to make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole that whoever looked at it would be healed. And so so it goes on to talk about that in Numbers 21, 1 through 9. So he made this fiery serpent of brass, put it on a pole. Everybody that look on it shall live. And Moses made the serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. We know that in the New Testament that this was actually used as a type. John 3:14 through 15 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What happened when the serpent was lifted up? They beheld it. They lived. Jesus is lifted up, and as people behold him, they will live. In other words, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah. The next, there are several other types that indicate that Messiah would be killed. One of them is the Passover lamb. We notice that in the book of Exodus, when they were getting ready to leave Egypt, In the Exodus, that they were to take a lamb of the first year without spot and blemish. He was to be killed by the congregation in the evening, 14th of Nisan. His blood should be stricken on the doorposts and the lintels of their houses. And they were to roast the lamb and to eat it. They were not to break its bones. They were to eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. But we know that in that night, the firstborn of all Egypt died. But the firstborn of Israel did not, because they were under the blood. So here you have the Passover lamb, and you get in the New Testament, and you find that it actually says, Christ, our Passover, Messiah, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Then you go on into the law, and you find the story of the scapegoat, how they were to take out two goats from the flock, and they were to lay the sins of the people on that goat and drive it in the wilderness. So in other words, this is somebody else taking the blame for Israel's sins. You had the red heifer that they were to burn and to take her ashes and mix them with water and to put them on the person to cleanse them from sin. There were a lot of different types, but all of them, as we look back on them, they were looking forward with those types. They were telling about the sacrifice or suffering of Messiah for the sins of others. So there are many examples in the Torah or law that indicate that Messiah should suffer. Besides telling about him and coming in glory, it tells he's going to suffer. And the prophets, these are a little plainer. Isaiah 9:6, the child is born and then the son is given. So we know Jesus was born and then he was the son given. You get over in Isaiah 52 and 53, there's some very plain language that the Jews do not understand. I have read after the Jews a good bit, and they just say, we don't know who this is talking about. Yeah, well, their eyes are blinded today. They cannot see him. But the 14th verse of the 52nd of Isaiah, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Then the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the whole chapter is devoted to the suffering Messiah. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? goes on and talked about him, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And on, it's just, it's plainly talking about Messiah. And but one of the things, we'll talk about this a little later, the fact that someone could die for another, the sins of another person, was foreign to Jews and Gentiles alike. To think that somebody else could be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities and our iniquity be put on him. They could not see this. But there it is, Isaiah 53. Daniel 9, in the famous passage having to do with the 70 weeks, it talks about Messiah being cut off. And that this is a very plain teaching in the Scripture. The 9th chapter. Know therefore and understand the 25th verse of Daniel 9, that from the going forth the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Here again you have Messiah being cut off for somebody else. This is a teaching in the prophets that is talking about Messiah dying for somebody else. Zechariah, the 11th chapter, has several references to a suffering Messiah. The 11th chapter of Zechariah, and there at the 13th verse, beginning at the 12th verse, rather, he talks about the staff beauty being cut. And he said, I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, or the treasury, a goodly price that I was priced out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. This is exactly what was done when Judas had received the 30 pieces of silver for betraying Jesus. When he saw that Jesus was condemned, he went back to the Jews and said, I've betrayed the innocent blood, here's the money. And they said, oh, it's the blood money, and they threw it on the floor. But it was actually used to purchase a grave for Judas in the potter's field. So right down to the gnat's eyebrow, if you want to say it, all these things were fulfilled about the suffering Messiah. The 12th chapter of Zechariah in the 10th verse, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced and mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And then the 13th chapter in the 7th verse, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. These seem obscure, but they are really, as we look back on them, and we can see, in fact, in the book of Matthew, it says over and over, that it might be fulfilled. It says, and they actually quote the prophecy. Okay, that covers the law and the prophets. Now, in the Psalms, there are references to a smitten Messiah, too. The 16th chapter, or the 16th Psalm, and there at the 10th verse, we've heard this all along. Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth, my flesh shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In other words, the Holy One would die, but he would not corrupt. He was raised before he corrupted. The 22nd Psalm, the whole thing is full of a suffering Messiah. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those are the words that Jesus spoke. Sixth verse, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Verse 16, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. These are all of the things that actually happened to Jesus as the suffering Messiah, just as it was predicted in Law, Prophets, and Psalms. The 69th Psalm, again, is another one that there we'll find references to a suffering Messiah. Third and fourth verse, I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. The 12th verse, they that sit in the gate speak against me. And that was a song of the drunkards. Verse 21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. These are things that were done to Jesus when he was on the cross. So, to me, what Jesus was trying to tell the people, the Jewish people, his own people, what the apostles were trying to tell the Jews, their own people, was that the Messiah whom they longed for and expected and wanted to come did come, and he had to suffer according to the scriptures, and therefore you have killed him. One of the things that we see in the crucifixion is that it was a murder. There's no cause for Jesus to be condemned to death. No legal cause for Jesus to be put to death. So really what they did was they murdered him. But the other side of that death is the word sacrifice. What men intended was one thing, what God intended was the other. So they, to them it was a murder, to him it was a sacrifice. So we know that Jesus the Messiah died. So when Paul came to them in 1 Corinthians 15 to talk to them about the gospel that he had preached to them and which they had received and by which they were being saved was include the fact that Messiah died. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach, which you have received, wherein ye stand. I delivered unto you among chief things which I also received, how that Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's what we've been talking about. The Jewish scriptures, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. That Messiah has died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So you see that this is very real, very important. But the same Apostle Paul in the same book, in the first chapter, said that a crucified and suffering Messiah was not easy to understand or to swallow. So he said, I'm coming here preaching the cross. To those who are foolish, to those who are perishing, it's foolishness. And finally he said down here, the Jews, 22nd, require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Messiah crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks or Gentiles, foolishness. Why? Is it a stumbling block to the Jews? They didn't expect their Messiah to die. They didn't want their Messiah to die. They couldn't believe their Messiah died. So for them to be told their Messiah died, it made them stumble. They didn't believe it. They turned away. The Greeks, on the other hand, cannot see how, in fact, they do not believe in the original sin. They do not believe in fallen man. They do not believe in sin in the flesh. They do not believe that one could die for another. And to them, a crucified Messiah is foolishness. No man can die for another man's sins. We all die for our own. But he is being preached that this anointed Savior, Jesus Christ, that's what the words anointed Savior, Jesus Christ, that's what it means. He did come to die for our sins. And so, as Paul said, we're preaching Christ, Messiah, crucified, to the Jews, stumbling block, to Greeks, foolishness, but unto us which are called, both Jews and Greeks, it is Messiah, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So, yes, the Messiah crucified is the Savior, the only one by which we can be saved, the anointed one to be our Savior, Jesus, meaning Savior, Christ, meaning anointed, he is our anointed Savior. We have an advantage living where we are compared to the Jews of Jesus' day. We are standing where we can see both comings. They were where they saw only the first coming. They saw only one coming. They could not see that there were two. It's like being in a perfectly aligned line of posts. All you can see is the first one. That's all they could see. But we're over here and we can see there were two. The first, he came lowly and meek, serving men, suffering for men, dying for men as the anointed sacrifice, the only one who could die for the sins of the world. But then we can go on down and we can see him coming again where he will fulfill all of the predictions of the reigning Messiah who shall be the King of the earth and shall bring in everlasting righteousness and salvation and resurrection, eternal life, peace, all of the good things that we seek. So this is what we are seeing today, is the suffering Messiah who died for our sins, but who we know, according to the Scriptures, was raised again. We thank you for your time.